This Sunday is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. The Psalm of the day is Psalm 125. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. And the Holy Gospel is from St. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 52.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 44th verse. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. In his parables, Jesus used the simplest images to bring the most profound truths to life for his disciples. And as brilliant as this was, the first challenge for modern ears of these parables is that the analogies and images drawn from common life in the first century are no longer common for most of us. When was the last time you went out to sow seed? By hand in a field, or planted a mustard seed? I don't know anyone who is a pearl wholesaler. And in Fort Collins, Colorado, we're about 1,000 miles shy of being on the coast for commercial fishing. And we're probably more likely to bury treasure in a 401k than in a nearby field. But these are the words Jesus gives us to ponder today. In these kingdom parables, Jesus tells a straightforward message about hidden treasure. A man comes across a hidden treasure in a field. Then he goes and sells all that he has to purchase that field. Jesus' point concerns the kingdom, that is, his reign and presence among us now, by his word and sacraments. Do whatever you can to seek it, secure it, uncover it. The kingdom of heaven, the real presence of Jesus in our life, is that valuable. Now, Jesus is not saying that we can buy his kingdom or earn it apart from his grace. He reminded his disciples in St. John chapter 15, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Or from the Old Testament reading, where the Lord reminded ancient Israel that he did not choose them because they were more in number than any other people, but it was because the Lord loved them and was faithful to his promises. The man in the parable didn't choose or seek the treasure. It was hidden. He stumbles upon it. The merchant happens upon the pearl of great value. But once we know about it, or are told about its value, or behold its worth, or have shared its mysteries, then all else we have is worthless compared to it. It's what St. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3. "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him." Paul gave up much for the kingdom in terms of a promising career among the religious elite of his day. He surely paid a great price with strained or broken relationships with colleagues and family. Yet, he said, the immeasurable treasure of gaining Christ and being found in him was worth every loss. Being found in Christ, as we are by virtue of our baptism, doesn't seem to cost us much, at least not in our comfortable Western world. No being killed all the day long, no being counted as sheep to be slaughtered. But there is something we give up in trusting Christ and being found in him. It's the orientation that puts us in the center of everything to the exclusion of God, who provides such good gifts in this life. We give up finding our ultimate meaning and identity in ourselves, our career, or our accomplishments. And that is a lot to give up, because it means the death of our selfish self. The old Adam, or the flesh, as St. Paul would put it. The Bible speaks of this reality as repentance, turning from an inward focus that will lead us only to death and toward Christ, who loves us and paid a great price to redeem us and give us a life that will never end. In large or small ways, that pearl of great value will cost us something. In some parts of the world, in some times and places, people have been asked to give up far more than we have. They've lost their livelihood, even their very lives, for the great treasure of the kingdom. Again, this doesn't mean that we purchase the kingdom by what we do or how we live, but it does mean that the rule and reign of God, which is given to us freely by grace, causes us to revalue or devalue everything else in comparison. It's all rubbish compared to knowing Christ and being found in him. But this is just the surface. In so many parables that Jesus tells, there is often a surprise, a little twist as you study it and receive it. Let's turn the parable on its head for a minute. What would happen if, instead of being the ones searching for the treasure, we were the treasure being searched for? What would happen if we were hidden treasure and somebody was searching for us? I think this helps us to uncover the joy of the gospel for us today. You and I are beautiful pearls, precious treasures, and Jesus has sold everything for us. He gave up everything, even his own life, to death on a cross, to purchase and win us from sin, from death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his bitter sufferings and death, that we might be his own treasured possession. And no one is left out of that promise, you know. For God so loved the world, Jesus said to Nicodemus, or in the parable, he bought the whole field. Christ's cross, death, and resurrection, the forgiveness that they bring, the life that they bring for all, because all are loved by God. For sure, we are hidden treasure, hidden in mistakes and regrets and failings, sin and suffering. We are unworthy or even unwanted in the eyes of the world. Yet we remain precious in his sight, solely because he sought us out and found us, even in our sin, and even went to Golgotha to pay for us. The loving rule and reign of Jesus in our life, this kingdom of heaven, is shaping who we are and how we live. And that kingdom, that reign of Jesus, is really precious. And precious are you, the valued treasures of God. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess the holy Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.